shit. It's that motherfucking day. It's that motherfucking time. Wednesday, December 5th. A little B. Kick it, Lee. Brothers and sisters, what? Singing while I'm singing. What? Know what I know when? While the black man's sweating. Are you fucking kidding me or what? Jews are sweating. Cubans are sweating. Wasps are sweating. Fucking brothers, Puerto Ricans. What's up, Lee Leland?
Not much. I'm feeling great.
Welcome to the Church of What's Happening Now. I'm Joey Coco Diaz, the co-host, the fucking backbone of the organization, the flying fucking Jew, Lee Syatt. 5 or 4 days away from Yannicka, his fucking smile. Look at him. He's all ready to go to Yannicka. Temple. He's getting his white shoes ready to go to temple.
Oh,
fuck
no.
It. He's going to go lure some young girls with little fucking dollar bills with fishing hooks on them. So when they bend over, he pulls them. That's an old Jew trick, too. We'll have to cover that in latter episodes. What's going on, Lisa? You looking good?
I'm feeling great.
You've been doing the new mood?
I have. I've been doing the new mood.
You're sleeping better, I can tell. You look a little better. You got a little bit more endurance. I tell you what, man. I've been going to this kickboxing place. And they make you jump rope. You know, they make you jump a lot of rope in between sets and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. The first 2 days, my feet were hurting, the bones in my feet.
Oh, really?
Those little skinny fucking bones are picking up 300 fucking pounds of fat and all the other shit that's in my body.
Whatever.
And I tell you what, the new bone, the strong bone. The strong bone is taking a lot of that pain away. So that shit is working. So I feel real good. Go to Omnit, see what's going on. Read about the fucking products. Read about what the fuck you're doing. See what the hell you're doing with your fitness plan and fit it in there. There's something for you over there, whether it's a strong bone. The hemp protein is fucking delicious. And I tell you, when I fart and stuff, it don't smell. Like, if you fart with that other type of protein,
your farts don't smell.
Oh, you cut a fucking fart with that soy protein or one of that yucca, whatever the fuck it is. Your ass smells so bad. Even when you take your jeans off, the fart filters through your ass like a coffee filter. So the stink stays in your jeans, especially if you walk commando. The fucking little brown mark in your jeans like somebody little fucking fire.
You go commando?
All the time. I try not to, but what are you going to do? I hate the feeling of my jeans and my underwear slipping.
Oh, I hate no underwear. Like, I'll wear, like, some days I'll wear 2 days underwear. I hate not having fresh underwear.
Let me tell you something. For years I wore underwear. And then when I was broke all those years, you got to do what you got to do. It's either cocaine or underwear. And I chose the fucking cocaine, so I learned how to run without fucking underwear. And that's how you got to do it every once in a while. But it's fucking Wednesday, Lee. It's a beautiful day to be alive. We got some good stuff on that Monday podcast with Patatin Totico. You know, I don't like... I'm just trying to give you the best of what's fucking out there. Today, I got a great movie for you we're going to go over. We got a couple jams. We got my man Sal Ubatz calling in. Sal Polisi, ex-fucking Gambino associate. Went into the witness relocation plan. I had him on the other podcast. He's a great guy. I love him. He's got a book that's out, The Sinatra Club, so I want to talk to you about that. Here we go, so nobody fucking has to come at me crying. It was the season finale last night of Sons of Anarchy. So Sons of Anarchy alert, turn your shit off, okay? I had a conversation a couple weeks ago with some people in Arizona, and we were talking about Sons of Anarchy, and I said something to them that, you know, it's a good show, but it's got a lot of holes. But they can only do so much in an hour and a fucking half.
Every show has holes.
You know, I love the characters of Gemma. I love fucking Jax Teller. I like the Irish dude. I like Bobby Elvis. I like Clay, even. I like a lot of the characters, and I like the people who play them. A lot of times I can't watch a certain show because I don't like one fucking character. I can't even watch the fucking guy. This season, I mean, I got into Sons of Anarchy by mistake last year. It's not like I've been into them since day one. I'm not going to sit here, rah, rah, I knew. No, I didn't fucking know. What happened was when I got convicted on that kidnapping thing, the guy who really turned state's evidence on me was a biker. So I always had a bad taste in my mouth about bikers, but then I come years later, he was just an associate. He hung out at the fucking place with them. He was no fucking biker. This guy had a tricycle and a tattoo. Fuck yourself. But, the main thing was that I started watching the show, and I could see how they turned. It was like a sort of Soprano type thing. Without the this, they got the wife involved, and I don't like that. You tell your wife shit, what you're going to do, who you're going to go kill as part of an old lady. I don't like that language, but whatever. But I do like the characters, and I like the violence. I like the drugs. I like the guns. You know, I know Emilio, which I'm going to try to get next week, the guy that plays the president of the Mayans. You know, I see... the machete at different fucking functions that I do, like for comedy. I do functions for this organization, and he's always part of it. So I became fans of the show, and I tell you what, man, Last night was a great fucking show. First off, I always knew he was going to fucking ice Damon Pope. I never knew I knew Damon Pope wasn't going to get away with that. Even in the commercial last week when they showed whoever does the editing for the Jack's for the Sons of Anarchy commercial was very good. He leaves you fucking, he fucks you up. He confuses the shit out of people. They really confuse the shit out of people with their upcoming trailers.
Yeah.
I knew he was going to kill fucking Damon Pope, and he killed him fucking beautifully. I wish he would have shot him in the ball first and made him suffer, and then shot him in each eyeball, you know, because the guy lit his fucking daughter on fire.
Oh,
I
no.
would have made the best out of this fucking guy. But that's just me. The scene where, yet, listen, in 19, whatever, we're going to cover this movie. A movie called Midnight Express was one of the last movies I seen before my mother died, and it was fucking traumatizing. It's about a young guy, Brad, whatever, that goes to Turkey and tries to. Did you ever see it, bro?
No, obviously.
You probably were too busy jumping up and down watching some fucking movie with MZM Zai in it and the other skinny guy from The Office with the cigarette. Wow. Comedy fucking brilliant. So, what was I talking about? Midnight Express, I'm sorry, is about a guy who goes to get hash.
Had the lollipop too early.
But one of the, yeah, I know I'm fucked up. But one of the scenes that's really memorizing is that the guy ratted him out into jail. And he threw a fucking beating on this guy. And at the end, he bites his fucking tongue out and spits it in the fucking air. And you see the tongue, you see the blood on the guy's head. Last night, there was a scene in Sons of Anarchy where Kurt Suda, who's in jail, the writer, the executive producer, he plays a biker that's in jail, and he stabbed a chick, and Donald Logue is hunting him down now. Last night, he can't testify. He bit his own fucking tongue out. So that was the show in the middle. And it was a terrible fucking tongue. It looked like a Puerto Rican's tongue. It was small and shit. But
it was small.
I tell you what, man, it got me. They threw Clay in jail. You know, it was too much of a scam. I mean, it's a great season hook. I don't know when it comes on again, if people watch it. If you don't watch it, it's a great show. I don't get paid to talk about it, but it's the only real show I watch on TV besides Breaking Bad or whatever. Breaking Bad went a weird direction this year. The fucking zombie one scares the fuck out of me.
Well, Walking Dead, yeah.
Yeah, it scares the shit out of me. Star Trek used to scare the shit out of me as a kid. Just the beginning. Just that song. Oh,
it scares you?
Oh, take that shit off. Put the fucking news on. I love the news. I love Diane Sawyer, you know.
Oh, yeah. You
6:30, I fucking watch Diane Sawyer. I don't want to hear about nothing. It's like before when I was hugging Lulu and you guys are talking about computers. I don't give a fuck. I'm hugging Lulu. When I hug Lulu, it's to hear her go. She never meows, that cat. That cat never meows until you give her love. When you scratch her back and get all wound up, you hear. What's up, Lily Leland? You're going home for fucking the holidays. It's already the 4th, so what do you got, the 5th?
I got 20 days.
20 fucking days. 3 weeks, you're going to go home. You're going to go to a New England game. You're going to see Mama.
Wait. Yeah.
And think of it. 4 days before that, you're going to get the biggest thriller you fucking love. When he bit his tongue out yesterday.
Yeah.
Kurt Suda, I thought about you after the chick farts in your face.
Because
maybe you got a little particle of shit on your tongue.
I'll have to bite it off.
And you just fucking, oh, yeah. You just bite that fucking tongue off or be on the floor with that little yum fucking mooey fucking shit on your tongue.
People keep sending us pictures of the chick
yesterday. We're going to send her a plane ticket. That's because I'm going to get a fat chick to fart in your face. A little hot chick to fart in your face. You could tell
the hot chicks are worse. They probably eat nothing but salads.
Yeah, so we're going to get to the Pepsi channel. At least a fat black chick eats Popeye's chicken with that fucking the little rice they got, the crazy rice from there.
I don't know.
The farts that come out of your ass is what they give the fucking Arabs when they fucking torture people and shit. And what the fuck is it with this shit that Arab people think I hate them? They always send me little tweets like, bro, what? Listen, I don't hate Arabs at all. I don't hate nobody like that at all. I've told you on this podcast 1,000 times, I am racially insensitive. But I am not fucking racist. I hang out with Armenians out here. I hang out with fucking Lebanese. What's Mars? I don't even look at that shit, people.
I think he's Iranian.
I fuck around. I talk about. I mean, yeah, I do smell. I do fucking hate the smell of stinky fucking curry, and I do hate when people don't wear fucking deodorant, and I do hate when I smell somebody's fucking toes in a store when they're crusty. And that's the Hindus; their fucking toes are crusty. But that don't mean I hate them. It just means they got stinky fucking toes. That's all that means, you know. My toes fucking stink. We don't see rubbing them on my feet or putting sandals on them, making you tolerate looking at my fucking toes, because that's not how I roll. I don't like looking at fucking guys' toes when they have the sandals on like half a fucking fags. It drives me crazy. What if there's a war right now and you're walking around like Pepe Le Pew with fucking sandals, like a surfer? What if Godzilla jumped out of that fucking Pacific and you got to run. And you got those faggy fucking flip-flops on with those hoofs. And your toes are all purple like mine. I don't want to show... When I go to yoga and that yoga teacher walks by me, I fucking cringe because she got to look at my feet. One day she picked the bottoms of them up and I fucking almost died. You know, I almost fucking died. I don't want nobody seeing my feet. I don't want nobody touching my feet. I don't even want... You know, I put socks on underwater.
So I'm guessing you don't have a foot fetish.
What do you mean a foot fetish?
Like you like looking,
I like
girls
looking
feet?
At girls' feet, like, but I don't want them touching me. I don't want no one. When my wife's foot touches me, it drives me fucking crazy. I don't like feet touching me. I don't want them close, and I don't want you jerking off me with your fucking filthy feet. I like your feet. Put some makeup on them. You know, like toenail polish.
Yeah.
Polish them up a little bit. Take that contour off. We'll fucking lay in bed, but don't touch me with your fucking feet, all right? That's why I don't go to jiu-jitsu.
That's it?
I can't stand men's feet or people's feet. Or asses, or guys' thighs. I can't have that. And the people I have around me got to be in fucking showers. I don't like that shit. People coming in from work with that rotten ass, and you want to do jiu-jitsu with that foot that smells like fucking a cheese bar. I don't need that shit, dog.
I'd love to take you to like the high school wrestling practices I went to, because no one showers before.
Oh, no, no. You got to shower
for 8 hours a day.
Fuck the middle and after with that rotten ass. A guy's fucking just smell as a purple. Yeah. You know, we all smell. I smell my fucking balls. That's horror. That's fucking horror. That's horror when you scratch your nuts sometimes. You're like, whoa, what the fuck? You know, I'm going to have that because you want to do a fucking triangle. I got to have your foot or your foot. Your stinky dead foot's in your work boot all day, and then you want to take it to jiu-jitsu and not wash your feet. I can't have that.
But on the night that the girl farts in my face, I want Big Country to come and put you in a triangle with the feet in your face, Big and then Country. It'll be fair. Like that big UFC guy.
Listen, let's just worry about the fart in your face.
And that's fair now.
And the emergency putting you in the ambulance in time. Don't worry about the fucking whatever the fuck. So that's my whole thing. I don't hate nobody. I don't have, you know, it's real interesting. I want to show a movie this week that I'm sure people don't like. The movie I'm going to show you guys this week, people don't like, but it's a movie that hit home with me big fucking time. And I can't get into it now. How about a little fucking Madonna for these people to roll them into this shit? Because a lot of people are saying, Joey, what the fuck? How are you going to do Madonna for me? Let me tell you something. I was looking at something the other day. And I was realizing that this year is the 30th anniversary, 2013. If the world doesn't end, 2013 is the 30th anniversary of Madonna's first album. Now, I don't know about the third album. I don't know about this other shit that came. I don't know when she burned Jesus with the cross in the Pepsi commercial. I don't know nothing about that. But I do know Madonna's first album is fucking solid. And for you motherfuckers that were kids or you don't know, let me tell you something. It was Michael Jackson, Bruce Springsteen, and Madonna. And Madonna was fucking them right up. I mean, Madonna was in there from 83 to 85. Hit it, Lee! A little fucking the end of Burning Up when she's over there talking about eating mufflers and shit. Hit it, Lee! Come on, let's go! It's fucking Wednesday. Get out of bed, motherfucker. Tell fear to suck your dick. It's your day. You're going out there slinging dick. Fucking fear. Fear can't exist in the church of what's happening now. Kick it, Lee. Put that motherfucker live. We gotta get some ass fresh, shall we? Wiggle Funko Joy. Oh shit. Oh shit.
I'm not the others, I do anything.
Oh shit.
I got no shame. I'm on fire.
Look at that asshole, she's on fire. Go, Lee.
Ooh, yeah, I'm burning up. Come on, come on, I'm burning up. Ooh, yeah, I'm burning.
Go, Lee, dance it, kill it, Lee, wiggle, fam, hit it. Oh, shit, turn that shit up. These motherfuckers don't know that we on Madonna first, then the gays jumped on board. The fuck you think you're dealing with?
I would never have guessed you knew all the words for Madonna song.
Oh, the first album? Listen, bro, like I tell you motherfuckers, we could fuck around and we could talk about this or that, and I could tell you what you guys want to fucking hear. That's not why I do a podcast. I'm not going to fucking sit here and tell you this is why. I do a podcast to fucking tell you what inspired me to pieces. And fucking Madonna in 82 and 83, when I was living in Colorado, I wasn't even dancing anymore. I was, you know, I went to clubs to sling dick. I would take a Quaalude, get a gram of blow with four of my buddies and go into fucking Studio 54 on a Thursday. Not when Mick Jagger was there and all that shit. Thursday nights, a friend of mine had a door guy, so he let us in. We were 18, 19. I remember one time I was so coked up in Studio 54 with a friend of mine, Mike. We had pockets full of coke, but we had no cash. We were supposed to sell the coke we had. We were doing it instead of selling it.
Okay.
So we really had no cash. You know, in those days, I remember looking on the floor and seeing a $100 bill one time on a Thursday night. It was like Jesus fucking flew by with an angel and just dropped a yardstick. I never fucking forget that. But that's why I went out for. So when I moved to Aspen in 83, I was pretty content. You know, I didn't like going to the Stonebridge and listening to some fucking band play fucking Lynyrd Skynyrd. So a buddy of mine goes, bro, do you have this new Madonna cassette? And I was like, what are you talking about? And like, you gotta listen to this thing. And I went over and I got the fucking cassette. And the first album, Physical Attraction, this, say what the fuck you want to say. Let me tell you something about Madonna. And here's the craziest thing ever. When I was in high school, my senior year, on Saturdays, we'd go to Joan Mary's and then we'd go out. We'd go to clubs like The Rooftop. And I don't even remember the fucking names. That was never really my big thing. Mm-hmm. I went along because I was out. We had blow. What was I going to do? I was going to go home to what? I didn't have a home. I was sleeping on somebody's floor, so I might as well go out to a club in the city.
Yeah.
And I remember going to a club one night, and the next week, you know, they were like, did you remember that singer? That girl that, because usually in those clubs they had no bands, it was just a DJ. And then at one point of the night he'd say, ladies and gentlemen, can I have your attention please? We have a new recording artist from whatever. And you'd sit there all coked out going, what the fuck is this? We got a new girl coming up, she's gonna sing a song for you. And she'd sing the fucking song and you clap and you go back to trying to get a piece of pussy. You know what I'm saying? You didn't give a fuck. Well, years later, somebody told me that girl, one night we went to the garage or whatever disco was Madonna singing.
Wow.
So I had seen Madonna. I just didn't know who the fuck it was. Yeah, of course. I didn't really care. I'm not going to lie to you people and tell you. I saw. I don't fucking remember. This was years later. Friends of mine told me. But Madonna was huge, bro. From 83. In 85, they gave her a movie, Desperately Seeking Susan.
Uh-huh.
And she was huge. Huge. She was selling out Madison Square Garden. Every young hooker that's 43 now sucked a dick to a Madonna song. If you're 45, you suck some dick to Madonna songs, whether it's Borderline. I'm telling you, I know for a fact that was cocaine music. That was straight up. You know how many times I ate ass listening to Burning Up for Your Love, putting a coke rock in her asshole and eating it? And we had them first. The Killers had Madonna first. Then the gays jumped on board. Yeah, at first, and they weren't gay. At first, it was a couple fags that were into fucking Madonna. But then they came on, the gays jumped up and down. Madonna was the first one to cross over. She's the real king of the fucking fags. That's why I love Madonna.
And she's still doing great. She just recently, my friend went and saw her in Boston. She sold out where the Celtics play, like last month.
A dog. She is Twitter. She's got 80 million fucking Twitter people.
Oh,
you know, Madonna's been around for 30 years and she's done some things that she's controversial. I can't cop to any of that shit. I don't like that world where, oh my God, and this and Madonna. But, you know, one minute she's a Jew. One minute she's a Catholic, one minute she's reading the Kabbalah. But those are choices you make along the line. We don't know that. We have to live through them. See how you come to terms with your success. So I don't know. I'm not her. I know that she must has 80 fucking people around. Her brother wrote a book about her.
Yeah.
She was dating that gangster in Miami for a while that bought Club Liquid. We'll go over that book sometime. I mean, you know, there's so many fucking angles of this that Madonna did. I'm not talking about none of that shit. I'm not talking about her politics. I'm not talking about who she runs with. You know, a lot of people know she was married to Sean Penn.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Madonna was married to Sean Penn. Did I do a close range on here? Yeah, right?
I think so. When was that?
At close range is Christopher Walken and Sean Penn.
You showed that one part of it.
Right.
I think,
Well, that whole movie, the soundtrack is Madonna, Live to Tell, which is a fucking great jam.
Okay.
It's one of the greatest fucking jams I've heard in a long time. You know, we got UFC this weekend. Too bad I'm not doing a pre-card. Like on Thursday, I'll probably call in my man Jack over at... My man Jack Bratcher, good fucking dude, wanted me to do a podcast Thursday night, but I'm shooting Thursday night. I'm shooting all this week, so I can't do shit. I'm doing a set Friday and Saturday at the Laugh Factory, and that's all I got because I can't. I've been busy all fucking week.
Yeah.
Trying to put this shit together, Leland, you bad motherfucker. Lee's leaving for a week.
Yeah, my 1 week off.
We got to do some fucking podcasting. What are you going to do? You got plans with this girl?
Yeah, I'm going to see her, and I'm going to see friends, and... I'm just excited to do nothing. Because like I said, I work 51 weeks a year, like 5 or 6 days a week. And I'm ready to do nothing.
And you ain't seen nothing, cocksucker. You're only 24, so stop complaining.
I'm not complaining.
51,
I'm just ready
to... I work 51 weeks a year. You're 24. What are you going to do when you're 40 and you still got 25 years of doing this?
That's why I'm excited to do stuff I like.
This is why I say to you motherfuckers to write. You got to do shit you like, but you got to start now. And that's why we do the podcast on the year. You don't have to work no more. Hopefully we could do something. We could shoot another movie, involve some people. Maybe this thing with the black chick. I told you, you're going to make 3 minutes. From one fart to the face. Look at what's her name. Look at what she did with a sex video. You're going to be the first fucking guy ever to take a fart to the face. You're gonna put it on pay-per-view. You're going to make a documentary about the chick and her intestines and the whole fucking deal. Who's better than you?
That's true.
Who's fucking better than you?
But that's actually something I wanted to talk to you about. And
what do you want to talk about?
It's something that you did when you made the choice to leave Colorado and your family and do comedy. I have a friend who's moving out here in January, and people give me and other people shit for moving out to like L.A., and they're like, oh, well, everyone's out there, and so I'm never going to make it, or you're never going to make it, and you should just stay here and have a normal job. I couldn't imagine. Like, it gets me angry because she would say, oh, because her brother's out here, and he wanted to be an actor, but he hasn't made it in 2 years, so he's soured on it. It pisses me off when, like, I couldn't imagine being 40 and still having 25 years left at the insurance company. And it's great, and a lot of people do it, but people, I get mad when people give me or other people shit who are actually trying to do something. So, like, you moved without your
family gives you shit.
Yeah.
Even your family. When you go to that dinner table the first night and you're, like, eating, and you go, guess what, guys? I'm thinking of becoming a fucking cartooner or whatever, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Anyways, baby, anything.
I want to move to L.A. My friend told me about the school in L.A. I could get housing. What's the first thing you get? You're not going to get a congratulations.
Yeah.
You're going to get California. What the fuck is out? What's wrong with you? Don't you know those people that live out there all fucking faggots? They're walking around smoking dope with sandals on. You know, it's a big orgy. Don't you see it on Baywatch? I mean, the resistance is amazing. As a matter of fact, you give yourself resistance, which is the fear I talk about. I tell her, suck your dick. Listen, man, what if, this is what happened to me. I got out of prison. I got into comedy. I didn't get along with that girl I was married to. I had a wife and a fucking kid. I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy in that fucking house. And that happens, people. Only society fucking tells you about what your life has to be. You could follow the path that you want to, or the one society tells you. Society tells you go to college, you marry some chick. You know, listen, when you're 18, at 50, I'm telling you, I didn't know what the fuck I wanted to do at 18. Nobody knows. I don't give a fuck what they tell you. Very few are very successful and do know what they want to do at 18. You go to college, you pick a major, you come out, you know, you take this. Now, after 10 years, after you've gotten your major, I'm sorry, you don't even want to do this anymore. You're like, what the fuck? 4 years, now I got to go and do this. And this is where you come in. This mm-hmm. is when you come in. College, look at what they're saying now, that people graduating from college and they have no work. College was never really a guarantee that anything was going to happen in your life.
Yeah.
All college is to prove to yourself that you could do something for 4 years. When people hire you, it's not they don't hire you because of your degree, your 4.0 GPA. They hire you because you did something for 4 years. You stuck to something, which is very hard to do at 18. It's very difficult to do at 18. But not to get you off the subject now, there's people that do that, Dog Lee. They get married and they see life for what it is and they snap. I'm 24. I'm working 51 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work 51 weeks a year. I'm making this money. I'm not starving. I'm at the 60% bracket of at least I'm working. A lot of people aren't fucking working. I don't know the percentages, people. Please don't holler.
It's probably higher than that.
You know, how lucky am I? But this is not what I want to do. Jesus Christ, you know how many of that happens to people all the time?
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine not wanting to do what you went to college for now in this economy and taking a chance? Must be fucking scary.
It's scary. And the girl called me and she said, she has two jobs. She works at a pizza place and at an old person's home. And she said, well, I have $2,000 I saved up to move, but I have these student loans. Should I just put that money towards that and stay here? Like, and do what? Work at the pizza place?
Listen, in life, you have to take a chance.
And yeah.
The younger you are, did you guys remember when I first started this podcast with Lee? We had Mike Kessler call. I'm going to have him call again to tell you fucking guys a story. He started a new career at 65.
Oh, the guy with the band, yeah.
The guy with the band. I've known Mike for 20 years. We smoked crack together. We snorted coke together. We ate pills together. I'm telling you guys, this guy woke up one day and said, I'm not doing this no more selling. I'm taking my pension. I'm going to start a band. And he's in New York, struggling in a house, living with his brother in a two-bedroom, doing what I did 30 fucking years ago, struggling, living in a car to get your word out, to get your dream out. Guys, don't get stuck. Fuck your family. Fuck your people. Anybody who tells you against your dream is not looking. This is why you can't go to your family and tell them you want to do something. They don't put your dream down because they think you're a failure. They put your dream down because they're scared for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're all scared for us. Nobody wants... If my wife comes to me tomorrow and goes, I'm thinking I'm moving to Alaska to fucking dig oil, I'll give them my blessing. I love my wife, but I'm scared for her. At an adult age, can you imagine when you're 18, your kid comes in the room and says to you he wants to go to fucking California to draw pictures? But think of... If you didn't do this, think of what your life would be at 50 if you didn't take a chance. That's where the alcoholism comes in. That's where the weight comes in. That's where the sadness and the fucking sorrow come in. So you got to take a chance. When you're a young person, an old person, listen, man, it's never too fucking, you're never too fucking old. Mick Jagger's 64 spinning around on fucking stage. What does that tell you? Yeah, he's a greedy fuck, you know, he's charging $800 a ticket. But think about it. You got to go for whatever it is. I had nothing to lose since day one. I had no family. You know, Josh Wolf called in and he said that thing about, I would say, if something happens, I'll take the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Just take care of me, because I had no family. I know what it is to have family and for them to come see you. I was a single guy. I wanted to be Charles Bronson fucking anyway. But I couldn't imagine living my life waking up at 48 not trying stand-up comedy.
Yeah, if you, like, what do you think would have happened if you made it work with the wife or even made it work being divorced and had the daughter, and you were still roofing, and maybe doing comedy once a weekend?
I would have had a stroke by now.
You think so?
Yeah, because of the drugs. By now,
I would. Oh, you don't think you would have got off the drugs?
No, because I wouldn't have found my true love.
Okay.
Once you find your true love, that cancels everything. Once you find your true love, and you see it's arrived, and you see what you need to do, you have a choice. Now you have a choice to make. You are good at something. I never knew I was good at anything, or even close decent. The best I ever felt was 2005 when I got the longest yard.
Mm-hmm.
And then when nothing came after that because of my cocaine use and my attitude, that's when I fucking caved. And then I got strong from that. I realized I always had that. No matter what you say to me, when I go back to North Bergen, they could say, hey, man, you were a thief. You were a loser. You know what? I put all those things together and I got into an Adam Sandler movie, which is very hard to do. Now, that's the, you look at me and go, enjoy, but that's not success. It's success for me, for where I came from. You know, just me walking around in L.A., that's success for me. Even if I was broke, I was happy. Because I'm like, I'm in the fucking major leagues. I'm Tom Berenger in Major League. I'm a catcher that makes the league minimum.
Uh-huh.
Which, we're going to go over that movie. Major League is one of the greatest fucking movies of all time. Never mind we throw the sports angle into it. Tom Berenger, bad motherfucker. Especially in Major League. All of them. All of them. From the black dude to fucking the coach. The coach, you want to come working at a tire store? I don't know. Some guys bother me on the phone. Yeah, just the chicks. So we're going to go over Major fucking League. But to me, I could have died after the longest yard, and I would have been happy, because I proved everybody wrong. I proved the people wrong that I did comedy with. I proved a bunch of agents wrong. I proved a lot of people for me, but I have more to say, and that's why I do the podcast. So, man, if you got a dream, fucking go for it. Who gives a fuck? You're the one that's got to go to the supermarket. You're the one that's got to put gas in your car. You're the one that's going to have to live in your fucking car. I'm reading On Writing by Stephen King right now. Uh-huh. Oh, my God. You know, he was working in a high school or some shit, and he went into a girl's bathroom to clean the bathroom with another janitor.
Yeah.
This is after he got his degree. And he thought about, he seen the box next to a woman's urinal, and he asked the guy what that box was for, and it's to plugs, to plug your pussy, the tampon box that they put next to the toilet.
Yeah.
And he had an idea about teenage girls in a shower with the one girl bleeding from a pussy and a bunch of girls throwing tampons at him. And then he went home and he read an article about telekinesis. And he thought about young kids that had been tested that could move objects with their things.
Mm-hmm.
And he started writing a script. And that script, and he hated it because the character's name was Carrie White. And he took the script after he wrote a couple pages. I don't know exactly, don't quote me on this, and he threw it away, guys. And fucking his wife, the next day he came home. This is the shit that makes me wake up in the mornings. The next day he came home from work at that janitor place, and his wife was dusting off the script from the garbage. Mm-hmm. He had cigarette ashes on it and shit. He's dusting the script off it, and it was Carrie the movie. Carrie the movie, guys. The movie Carrie. The one that fucking the chick that with John Travolta and the other. It was the movie Carrie for the 8th time. And he fucking ends up selling it for $400,000 in 1970-something, which is like $4 million today. So he had these two ideas, and he put them together, and it became Carrie. You ever see Carrie?
No.
No. Why would you? You're too busy watching fucking Romeo and Juliet with Puerto Ricans or something like that. I'm talking about this is the shit that makes you go, Jesus, he took a chance. When you take a chance in your life, he took a chance, and he didn't believe in it. Fear took over. He threw it away. He came back. His wife hands him this, and she's like, you have to finish writing this. And he goes, why? I don't know about teenage girls. And she goes, I'll help you. And it became Carrie. And then while he fucking sold Carrie the book, he sold the book, he fucking was writing a book called The Shining. And he realized that The Shining was about him, that he was an alcoholic. He was drinking so much and doing so much fucking blow. But in there was a genius, and he tapped into it.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, no matter what position you're in, where you're at in the fucking world right now, what you're thinking, bro, you got the world by the balls. Trust me, I'm telling you. You got the world by the fucking balls. It's amazing. You just got to take a chance. You're not going to know anything unless you take a fucking chance, Lee. So tell your girlfriend to pack a fucking bags, take the $2,000, buy a big fucking joint, roll it, pack a car, and go to the driveway. Not to the driveway, but to the entrance, to the turnpike,
yeah.
Whatever the fuck gets you out of here. And pull over and smoke a joint and look at that fucking city. Spit on the floor, get in your car, throw on Led Zeppelin, and go west, motherfucker. And take a chance.
Yeah, well, it's a different girl, but I actually told her that because when I was driving out here, I had everything I owned in my car, and I had a panic attack in Connecticut. Like, I was fine.
We all fucking do, man.
I had to pull over on the side of the road in Connecticut, and I was like, everything. And I was homeless. Well, I wasn't homeless, but when I got out here, I didn't have a place to live, so I stayed in a hotel for a week.
Yeah, we all
and
do.
And I was like, holy, like, I was like, everything I own is in my motherfucking car.
That's
and I could have gone and worked at a TV station in Boston and had a nice apartment, but I mean,
you could still do that, Lee.
But it took me 2 years, and now I'm finally making enough money where I don't have to do that math. Like, should I have $100 till the next paycheck or whatever? It took me 2 years, but no, I'm fucking.
It's fucking amazing, dog. Yeah. It's amazing what happens when you fucking give yourself a chance.
Mm-hmm.
When you really say to yourself, you know what? I'm not going to think. Because the more you think about going for something, the more your dreams get crushed. I mean, I ain't going to lie to you. The more you think about something,
yeah.
You know, when I sit here and go, yeah, me and Lee should write a script. Nah, Lee's a bum. I'm a bum. You know, I mean, your little self-fear comes in and crushes your fucking dreams. You know, you're like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? But it's like, I can't believe I had the balls to stick this out. But I didn't have balls to stick this out, guys. I had nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
I couldn't quit at 38. What was I going to do? Go back to Boulder and do what? Try to rekindle my relationship with my daughter and do what? Get a job working for $10 an hour at $400 a week? I would die of debt. I'd be happy. I'd probably be not really. I don't know what I would
You'd be content.
But I know that I'd rather wake up every morning at zero and take a chance every fucking morning. That's just me. That's how I was raised. Take a chance. Do something. I'd rather know that today I can make $50 or I can make $500. It's up to me. Even if it's selling paint cans. You know, I did a movie for some girl, and the movie was nothing. It was nothing ever happened with it. But one of the producers was a guy that had false teeth, you know, and he was a really good-looking guy. Or he looked like he was good-looking, and we started talking. And he had been on television in L.A. in the 70s or whatever the shit was. And, you know, like everybody else in this business, he lost it. And he got hooked on coke. And he lost his house. He lost his family, his cars. And he said he walked out of a rehab at 49 years old with no teeth, the shoes they gave him, and $113. And he said he moved into his friend's garage and he took a bus, started selling tape.
Oh, yeah, you told me about him.
I told you about that fucking guy. You know, the tape on the phone. So you call different businesses and go, we have packaging tape. It's 16 cents a roll if you buy 10 million rolls. Think about it. And he started working for that. And he goes, he went from having a bus to having a car. And then after he had the fucking car, he was still working at the place, but he was a top salesman. And he figured out how to do it, so he opened up a garage. He moved into where he was living. And he got a phone, and he started calling these people direct and opened up his own business. And after I don't know how many fucking years, he got bought out by fucking three. No, he was telling me he had to put away $100,000 since his credit was shit. He had to put away $100,000 for a security deposit for a place to start an office building.
Yeah.
So he fucking he had to put the money away and live in his garage and do the business out of there. And one day he says that the UPS couldn't even go up and down the street. They would break the twigs and people would complain from how many times they fucking went over.
Oh, okay.
So it was just amazing. He said that at 49 he sold his, there he is. What's up, brother?
Hey, how are you?
Good, man. Thank you very much for calling. For you people who don't know, this is my brother, Sal Ubats Polisi. I did one of his films, and he's an author. He's an ex-wise guy. He's a fucking great all-around guy. How you doing, baby?
Good. What's going on, you guys?
Nothing. Same shit. What's going on in your world?
Really?
What's going on in your world?
Oh, I'm sorry. Just working on a series with National Geographic. I'm going back to New York next month. We're going to shoot some history episodes of the mob.
Okay, and then what's going on with the book?
Book is doing fine, selling well. We're still negotiating who's going to pick it up for movie rights or a television series, so it's doing well. I get calls from all over the world. I got fans. It's kind of fun.
You having a good time, Sal?
Yeah, it's great. I'm having a great time. You know, in the middle of all of this, about 2 months ago, I met a beautiful woman, and boy, life can change overnight.
That's what I love about you. You're always meeting beautiful women.
Yeah, absolutely magnificent, beautiful, smart, and it's great. You know, all of a sudden, my life stopped and starts over. So it's exciting. Everybody should keep that in mind. If you don't have a woman, you don't have a wife or girlfriend, there's somebody out there.
How old are you, Sal, now?
So what's that?
How old are you now, Sal?
67, and I'm like a teenager in love.
This is what I'm saying. We were just talking about that. Anything can happen at any age. You can make anything happen. Sal, tell these guys about the book and about how we know each other and about your life. We're all ears, brother.
Are you online? Are we online now?
Yeah, I'm online right now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
How we knew each other. We met on a movie set, and we realized we had some type of kindred spirit. So we talk and we laugh and tell stories, and, you know, not everybody's lived the life like you, Joe. You and I, Joey. We've lived, you know, pretty amazing life.
No, and we're lucky. I'm very lucky, and, you know, I was looking through your book last night. I need the copy of the new one, the Sinatra Club, the one that just came out in July, because I haven't read that one. You know, I've looked at all your other stuff. Are you still doing the one-man show?
Yeah, I'm probably going to do it back in on the East Coast comes January, February. I just got a new manager.
And
I'm going to do it a little different. I'm going to Vegas. That's right. Next month is Mob Month in Las Vegas, you know.
Right, yeah. I was in Vegas last weekend, and I seen they opened up a mob museum and all this stuff, so I knew something was going on.
Yeah, there's a story. There's actually an interview on the Mob Museum. If anybody goes on to the Mob Museum, they just type in my name, Sal Polisi. There's a great interview that sort of took place extemporaneously. I was just walking around before they opened up in the morning, and I had a group of people behind me, and someone was recording my observations of each person as I walked up. I said, well, I know this person and this person, you know. And I got to Sam Giancana, and I talked about Sam Giancana and how he helped the Kennedy administration to get all the votes in Chicago. So I went through the museum, and they put the story up there. It's actually up there on the website. But in January, I'll be doing a tribute at the Clark County Library. I think it's the 22nd of January. And I'm going to do a tribute for my old friend, Henry Hill.
Okay, and I'll be there on the 24th. I'll be at the Riviera.
Oh, really?
I'll be at the Riviera doing comedy that weekend. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
So if you want to stick around, let me know, and I'll put you up on stage to do 10 minutes. And you could talk a little bit, whatever you want to do, brother. You know I'm here for you.
Oh, that's Mob Month. That would work. You're going to be there the 24th?
And 25th. So if you need me, here I am, brother. Swing by. Say hello. Bring some people. You know, we'll talk about the book. This book. What year does this book start, Sal? Just so these people know who the fuck Sal Polici really is.
Well, that's kind of cool because Andrew Dice Clay is at the Riviera, right?
Yes, he's there 2 weeks. Amy Schumer's there 1 week, and I'm there the other week. But I'm there the week with you. So how do you like them there, Apple? See, you thought you were talking to some fucking novice. What happened?
You're there every month.
Every month, 1 weekend.
Now, when did you start that?
I'm gonna start it in January.
Oh, how exciting! Wow.
Yeah, you know I don't fuck around here.
That'll be great. I'll have to come over and do a couple of minutes with you, and then we can share some comedic moments of the mafia. There's funny stories here in the book, and we could talk about the John Gotti story when he threatened to kill the football coach for the youth football team who wouldn't the football coach wouldn't let me call the play, so Gotti threatened to kill him, and he changed his mind, and I was able to be the offensive coordinator.
What years were you involved with these people from?
I met John Gotti in 72, and we were friends for every day for about 3 or 4 years. He went to prison. I went to prison. We both came out. We reconnected in 77. Once he started moving up the ranks in the Gambino family, I went back to the Colombo family. So, we were still friends, but I wasn't an everyday, relationship any longer. But early in the 70s, he would come to the Sinatra Club every night. So we were friends.
And you had a social club named the Sinatra Club.
Yep, the Sinatra Club was 10 blocks from John Gotti's club in Ozone Park, Queens. His club was on 98th Street. My club was on 88th Street. So we were friends. But the Bergen Hunting Fish Club would open in the daytime, and the Sinatra Club was only opened at night. So... his mob guys from all these clubs. And then Tommy DeSimone and Jimmy Burke, they had a bar, Robert's Lounge, and that was on 118th Street. So that was another 20 blocks away, 30 blocks away. And we all coexisted in that neighborhood in Ozone Park in the 70s.
What year did you decide to get out of that life, Sal? 77?
I decided to get out of that life in 84.
Oh, my God.
I left New York. Yeah. 84, I decided to get out. And I left New York City and went upstate New York. But I slipped back into the drug business, and then I got busted, and then I got out completely in 85. And then 86, testified against Gotti and went into witness protection in Texas. I didn't stay long in Texas. Couple of years there, then I came to California and began to think about reinventing myself as a storyteller, writer, screenwriter, film producer, that kind of stuff,
You're a bad motherfucker. You know that, Sal?
Yeah, it's been a ride, man. It's been a hell of a ride. I got to meet a lot of nice people, and if anybody wants to know, you can break... You can break the chains of crime. You just and drugs. You need to walk away from it. One day you need to wake up, and say, "I'm not going to do it anymore." And that's what I did.
Sal, you didn't do drugs, correct?
I'm sorry.
You didn't do drugs, correct?
No, I never used drugs.
Right, you were a businessman.
Them because it was a lot of money.
when I went to watch your one man show. The beginning is so fucking strong because it opens up with you digging a fucking hole. You know, you got sent to dig a hole. And you have no idea being you when you say those words, because you say it to me, and I understand what you're talking about. You say it to me like you're asking me to go to coffee and have 7-Eleven. You know, like, let's go to 7-Eleven and have coffee, that you were digging a fucking grave for some guy. And that's when this whole thing hit you. It's so weird in your life that when you realize you're doing something is when you're already too deep. Here you were digging a fucking hole. Like, here you are in a fucking trench with your Walkman on. There wasn't even Walkman on. You're just mind-fucking yourself digging a hole. What did it feel like? Is that what woke you up that day?
You know, that day, it's interesting. That was the beginning. I didn't realize once I dug that grave for that guy who was going to be killed, I went back to Queens and waited for the phone call. It was going to be my job to pick up the body, gut it, and put lime on his body and bury it. Well, that night, I went back. In the morning, I waited for the call, but the call never came. So about a few days later, the Colombo wise guy, he said, "You need to go back and fill up the grave. We're not killing that guy right now." So I went back and I filled up the grave, and we, you know, that didn't happen. I didn't participate in that murder. Well, about a month or two later, the guy came to me and said, "Hey, you remember that hole you dug for that guy?" Because I didn't know the guy's name. I said, "Yeah." He said he was bragging. He said, "We got him last night." I said, "Well, what do you mean you got him?" He said, "The guy showed up at my friend's house. I jumped out of the closet. I strangled him with a wire. Then we stabbed him a few times. And we just threw him in the street in Long Island City." So then I did the one thing you're never supposed to do. I said, "Hey, Dominic," this was little Dominic Cataldo, who killed a lot of people. I said, on the Colombo crime film, "Dominic, why'd you kill the guy?" And he turned and looked at me, and it was a beat, because you're never supposed to ask why did someone kill. You know, if you're asking the guy who murdered somebody, "Why did you murder him?" I thought that was either a rat or he slept with a white guy's wife. He said, "I owe him $3 million. For drugs. It was easy to kill him." And I was stopped in my tracks. I just shook my head and said, "Okay." That was the day I realized I had to get out.
Yeah, it wasn't about a brotherhood. It wasn't about nothing. It was about cash.
They were killing over money, yeah. Yeah. But it took me 7 more years to get out.
But you got out, Sal. I'm fucking proud. And you're still out there. You're writing. You're doing movies. And it's all, you know, you just reinvented yourself. What the fuck are you going to do? I was there. You invited me to the Writers Guild and we watched the movie and Henry Hill showed up, fucked up. I was there with you.
Yeah.
I saw the movie. I saw you do this from the beginning to the end. And now you're always moving. And you just took that mentality but applied it to this mentality. Which is what I've been, you know, me and Lee talk about. Lee's the co-host of the show, The Flying Jew. Say hello, Lee, to Sal, Uncle Sal.
Hey, Sal.
So it's amazing how it's amazing how you just took one energy and took it into a different energy. That's it. You're a beautiful man for doing that.
Well, you know, it takes a little bit of discipline because when I left there 28 years ago, I never went back to crime. I remember that was 1987, you know. I'm sorry, 84, 85. Then in 1994, we had the earthquake here in California.
Yeah.
Henry came to the apartment complex I was managing. I had all the keys for the apartments. And he saw the keys on the door, and he said, "Ubats." It's my nickname, Ubats, being crazy. "What's all those keys?" I said, every key for every apartment in the complex. "Oh, so let's go rob a few apartments." I looked at Henry, I go, "Henry, that was the last life. These people trust me. I wouldn't pick up a dime." He looked at me, he says, "Wow, you really mean that?" "Yeah, Henry, I left that life of robbing. I never robbed anything after I left New York, never. What for? That was the old life. This is the new life." So Henry didn't get it.
Nah, he lived it. He lived it to the end, from all the way to the pocket. Sal, what's the name of the book? Give that fucking mother hell a plug here, dog. These people like to read. We all like to read. What's the book?
Oh, Sinatra Club.
And what is it on? Where can they find it?
Sinatra Club. Can't miss it. It's an easy title.
And it's on Amazon and what else?
It's all over the place. It's in bookstores, Amazon, iTunes. They can get e-book. It's all over the place, you know. There's books available at the bookstores and iTunes, Amazon. I mean, it just go on online and just type in Sinatra Club.
Sal, I love you all my heart. All right, no, we'll meet for coffee next week. And you give me a copy and we'll talk a little bit. I wanted to talk to you anyway. I've been thinking about you and some ideas. Thank you for letting me know about Mob Month in January. We'll put something together for you. Please, I'd love for you to swing by and take a bow. I'll talk to you before then. I'll give you a call and I'll meet you for coffee.
All right, have a good day, guys.
All right, thank you. Stay black. I love you.
All right, love you, Joe.
Bye, buddy.
Talk soon.
Sal motherfucking Ubats. Good guy. You know, there's another guy right there. He lived his life, whatever. He had 3 or 4 boys. That's what we didn't get into. He had a couple boys, and one of them was really good in football and got a scholarship, and he even went pro for a couple of years, but he couldn't really say that this was his father, who was a gangster, a mobster with Gotti and those guys selling heroin.
Yeah, of course not.
And he turned his life around, and sometimes you got to do whatever you got to do to turn your life around and for your family. You know, some people call them rats. I look at the whole situation. I look at it for what it is, and you make your decision if you've been in those feet, whatever the fuck it is here. What's happening, Lee Syatt? You don't smoke no dope no more with your Uncle Joey.
Yeah,
no more. I'm over here hitting the fucking vapor solo like an orphan. You know what I'm saying? You got me in the corner there like a fucking wet cat sucker.
Next time we talk to him, because I was thinking about we had
the ref.
What did the ref on? I can't fucking remember.
Tim Donaghy.
Tim Donaghy, yeah. Because he said the end of it was when he got contacted by the mob. So I don't know how much like the movies it is, and how much those two worlds are the same, like the movie mobsters and the actual mobsters. And there's right now they're putting a lot of mobsters in jail for the New England Mafia in Boston, and I just can't imagine that they're really mobsters, but maybe they are. I don't know.
You know, organized crime has a very weird umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has a very weird umbrella. So people still hijack trucks. People still to this day go, fuck it, I'm going to go hijack a truck today. As much as this is like a 1970s fucking crime. You know, everything's computerized, the doors are things, you have GPS now, but fucking people still going to hijack a fucking thing. Hijacking is considered like organized fucking crime.
Okay.
So if you get busted doing something like that, it's considered organized crime. Whatever's going on now in the streets, I have no idea. I don't live back there. I don't talk to those people. From time to time, I have a friend or two that I hear different stories about, but I couldn't imagine what you do. What if I was doing something like that? What would I do? Sell coke? Where? At a bar every night till 3 a.m? Little packages to people? What would I be doing? Selling pills? Taking bets at a fucking bar? Unless it was in a large scale.
Yeah.
I could see myself running a bookmaking ring in a large scale. You know what I'm saying? But do you need that?
Yeah.
Do you need that? At the end of the day, me at that age, I know that all that money you make eventually is going to go in the... Something bad's gonna fucking happen. You don't even want that money around. It all fucking sinks. I'd rather get up in the morning and do what we do, and you work hard, and I work hard, and everybody fucking goes home happy. At least you fucking work, you know? But yeah. I can't see doing something illegal at this age. I couldn't imagine it. Being 51 and having a family, and all of a sudden the cops are knocking on your fucking door, telling you there's a warrant for your arrest, and you gotta go in there and do 10 fucking years, and you gotta die in a fucking can. Because the odds are always against you, especially when you're dealing with people. You have 11 people. You don't know what each 10 of them are doing. You don't know what they're doing all times of the day. All you need is one guy to get fucking picked up because he's snorting glue or fucking little kids. It's always something like that. That he gets picked up for something that ain't got nothing to do with you. And while he's there, he rats you the fuck out. And there you are, you know, at home trying to make a living. You know what? At the end of the day, it's just not worth it.
No.
I want to know exactly where I'm going. I couldn't imagine now sitting there with my wife one night and getting a knock on the door. for fucking bookmaking or selling coke or selling heroin. I couldn't fucking dream about it.
And this is when it would happen, when your wife's almost going to give birth?
Yeah, this is when you take the whole fucking family down. This is what I was doing when I was in the halfway house. No wonder that fucking woman don't talk to me with my ex-wife and the daughter. When I was pregnant, I was in the halfway house for selling fucking blow. But I was scared. I was scared of society. I didn't think I could make it on my own without doing something illegal. Here I was selling cars on 104th and Denver. I hated it, but I was making $6,000-$7,000 a month. But that wasn't enough. The cocaine was my addiction. I was blaming it on money. Yeah, I needed to make money. I made a little bit of fucking money. Was it worth the aggravation? No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't worth the fucking aggravation, Lee. Anyway, cocksucker. It's Wednesday, you gotta stretch out. I gotta go to work at 1. I gotta fucking work out at 10 with the fucking Koreans over there doing the sidekicks for fucking Buddha. You know what I'm talking about? It's a beautiful day. I wanna give a shout out to some of my fucking soldiers out there. Where you at? My man, Ada Dunan, whatever the fucking guy keeps tweeting Spanish music. As always, Constantino, Manuel Lopez, Alan DeMeza, Gus, Trav42, Lil Carl Sagan, Henry Stewart, Dominic, John Cork. And don't forget, next Thursday, I'm in fucking San Diego, cocksuckers, at the Madhouse. Don't leave me down there. You better show up with a bag, a bazooka, fucking Lindsay Lohan stinky underwears. Can you imagine that, showing up with Lindsay Lohan stinky fucking underwears?
I don't know where you get it.
Who? You don't know where I get what?
Lindsay Lohan's stinky underwear.
You know what it gets. Listen, what would you do, you little filthy fuck? Would you rub it on your little head?
No, I don't.
Yes, you
so.
Would, you nasty fuck. Don't forget, if you go to NoHo, NoHo Organic, or you go to Divine Wellness and get an edible, tell them Joey Diaz sent you. You got an old, you got a Beauty and the Beast commemorative shirt.
Oh, shit.
Either
that's cool.
A black one or a white one, while size is less. That's the type of motherfucker I am for the holidays. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's a vapor pen. Go to NoHo Organic, get a vapor pen, get a vapor tube, sample a fucking hit on the thing. Just tell them Joey Diaz sent me from the podcast. They'll give you a fucking t-shirt. That's how I roll.
Oh, shit.
I had to get rid of this
holiday
t-shirts.
Presents.
Yeah, holiday presents. I'm slinging dick and giving out bubblegum. Now, a story that I tell a lot of people is when I got caught up in the coke and the prison all those years, I stopped watching movies. Somebody gave me a 8-track, not an 8-track, a DVD of Vandu Dice Clay. And that's what got the wheels in motion for that angle. But what really got me going creativity-wise was I was going to the University of Colorado. I was in the CUOP work-study program for minorities and Spanish people and blacks. And I was playing the Jose card. I'm not going to lie to you. I had to. I had nothing else going on, and I had to. I had no other source of income, and I was doing fucked up things, but I was trying. And here I am at the University of Colorado that I transferred in from Colorado Mountain College, from CMC. Now I'm at the University of Colorado in Boulder, not a felon yet, you know, criminal kid with a fucked up whatever, just trying to get into college. I figured out a hook that I could get a Pell Grant, and I could apply for a few loans, and I can make this fucking happen. So I'm at the University of Colorado, I'm taking all these classes, and they talk to me about sociology. Lee, I'm not going to lie to you guys, I had no idea what sociology even was. I had never heard that word before, okay? I'm not lying to you guys, I had never heard these words before. So the teacher says, you know, you're a history major, you have to take this, this, and this, and this. Now they had to switch it, Lee. At a point after I got the felony and I went back, I couldn't be an attorney no more, so I picked my minor, which was econ, and it was a weird fucking thing. I failed at econ, Lee. I was failing. I couldn't get my shit together.
Yeah, I thought you weren't good with money.
I wasn't good at this time. I wasn't good with anything. I was a fucking idiot, complete moron. But they made me to switch minors, so I went from I took microeconomic something, I took intro to micro, mm-hmm. and then something micro something. Guys, I didn't know what the fuck they were talking about. But part of CUOP was that you get 2 hours a week free counseling. You just had to go sign up at the CUOP Student Center, and in a couple of weeks they give you a call. And I get a call, and the guy's name was Mohammed Zabib. Okay, so right off the bat, I'm on the phone going, no fucking way is this happening. For all you fucking people who think I hate Arabs, listen to this story. So I'm like, no fucking way am I meeting Muhammad fucking Zabib to
go over economics.
Yeah, to go over economics. I get there. Sure enough, he's got the sandals on. Fucking, I got sweat coming out of my ears.
Sure enough.
You know, my hands are clenching. I meet him. I shake his hand. I'm very apprehensive. At this time, I didn't know about bombs or I did not know about Allah or nothing like that. I'm not going to lie to you people. I was just apprehensive to me, him being Arab. I didn't know what an Arab was about, you know. So we sat down, and he explained this to me. This guy was a fucking genius. He was just a street genius. He was an Arab, but he didn't talk like blah, blah. He was, like, fucking dropping knowledge on me, blah, 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 blah. So he said he wanted me to switch all these classes around. So one of the classes he made me switch was a sociology class. This is fucked up, Lee, that I got to tell you this shit. Some like sociology. He goes, does this make you understand about all? And I'm like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? People used to always say, if you're a sociology major, you're just going to be a waitress or a waiter.
Yeah.
Or shit like that. So I'm like, this guy wants me to fucking know. I'm not going to watch it. But one of the things about sociology class, this was cool. The guy goes, all I want you to do is watch a movie and break the movie down. And the movie he suggested that I watch was Do the Right Thing by this cat named Spike Lee. And I'm like, what? And I read up on it. It's a movie about this black dude and an Italian neighbor. I don't fucking know. I don't fucking know, Lee. And I don't. At this time in my life, I was shut off to movies and TV. I was more into drugs and hiding from people and imaginary objects and whacking off by myself. You know, I was a fucking animal. And I had to watch this movie. And I was married at the time. And it blew my fucking mind. At first I watched it and I liked the character, Sweet Dick Willie. Well, I can't remember what his name is. He's turned out to be a stand-up comic. When I came out here, I got to meet him. Fucking tremendous honor. But this whole movie was just brilliant. Just Spike Lee. And anyway, let's go to the first scene, Lee. At which one was the first one?
The Race Rant.
Race Rant is one of the first things. Hit it, Lee.
Ganni, garlic bread, pizza slinger, spaghetti bending, Vic Damone, Perry Como, Luciano Pavarotti, solo meal, non-singer motherfucker.
You gold teeth, gold chain wearing, fried chicken and biscuit eating, monkey, ape baboon, big thigh, fast running, high jumping, spear chucking, 360 degree, basketball dunking, titsoon spade, Moulinard. Take your fucking pizza and go the fuck back to Africa.
You little slanty-eyed, mean-old-speaky American, own every fruit and vegetable stand in New York, bullshit Reverend Sun Young Moon, some Olympic 88 Korean kickboxing sabadam bitch.
You goya bean eating, 15 in a car, 30 in an apartment, pointy shoes, red wearing, menudo meter Puerto Rican cocksucker. Yeah, you!
It's cheap. I got good price for you. Near catch it. How I'm doing? Chocolate, egg cream drinking, bagel and deluxe, banana for this Jew asshole.
Yo! Hold up!
What do you think of that, man? Now, I'm listening to this. I'm at home. I'm watching this on a VHS, and my head almost fucking blew up. My fucking head almost blew up. But what this movie, when you watch this movie, it's not about blacks or Italians or fucking. It's about all these people getting together. They all live together, and this is what their inner thoughts are. But at the end of the week, they all live together, and they make it work, and they work off each other. But behind closed doors, this is what's in your psyche. This is how I grew up. This is New York City. This is a neighborhood in Brooklyn. I'm not from that neighborhood, but it's the same mentality in fucking Jersey. We're small-minded people. We're not racist. We're racially...
Insensitive.
Thank you, sir. So please, people, I don't hate Arabs. I don't hate anybody. I just, you know, this is how you grow up. This is what I grew up in. This is New York, you know, and there's some great, if you've never seen Do the Right Thing, whenever you watch a Knick game and there's a little fucking black dude with glasses jumping up and down, and you're like, who's that wormy fuck? Listen, he's made a lot of bomby fucking movies, but he's made a lot of great movies. And one of my favorite of all time is this one. Because he flips the black on you. He really flips the back on you. And just the name of it, his name is Mookie. He's got a sister. There's a wino in the neighborhood. There's a drunk chick. I mean, he just portrayed the Danny Aiello, who's phenomenal. Hit it, the pizza scene. Do a couple minutes in the pizza joint, and then we'll do How I Got to Stay Black. This is for you motherfuckers.
Yo, Mook! Mookie! What?
come you got no brothers up on the wall?
Man, ask Sal, right?
Hey, Sal, how come you got no brothers up on the wall here?
You want brothers on the wall? Get your own place. You can do what you want to do. You can put your brothers and uncles and nieces and nephews, your stepfather, stepmother, whoever you want. See? But this is my pizzeria. American Italians on the wall only.
Take it easy, pal.
And you, hey, don't stop me today.
Well, yeah, that might be fine, Sal, but you own this. Rarely do I see any American Italians eating here. All I see is black folks. So since we spend much money here, we do have some say.
You looking for trouble?
Are you a troublemaker? Is that what you are?
You making trouble?
Yeah, I'm a troublemaker. I'm making trouble.
You're a real ball breaker.
All right, let's listen to the next one. This is the scene, and all you motherfuckers giggle, and you just don't get it. This is how much heart there was in this goddamn movie. Hit it, Lee Lee.
Yo, man, come on, I spent much money in there.
What are you trying to do?
What am I trying to do?
What are you trying to do?
Man, I want some brothers up on the wall, man.
I gotta work here, man. You're fucking my shit up,
man.
This is
between me and Sal, man.
You're fucking me up.
I ain't trying to fuck you up, Moose. I ain't trying to fuck you up. I'm sorry.
You're sorry? Look, come back in a week and be squashed, all right?
A week. Yeah,
right.
Bet. Stay black.
There you go. 19th for you motherfuckers are like, what, Joey? What is stay black? That's what it is. Stay black. It don't matter whether you're white, purple, Arab, Hindu, a Jew. You gotta stay fucking black every goddamn day. You know what I'm saying? What else, Leah? There's my beautiful wife. Uh-oh. What's up, beautiful? My wife is getting bigger by the day, and it's dropping now. So for you guys, like, Joey, when is the baby coming?
Soonish.
What's up, honey? You leaving?
No.
Are you going to hang out?
No, breakfast.
You want to go eat breakfast? All right, let's do it. Well, that's the show right there. That's the boss that just came in. This is how quick it ends, guys. You guys like, Joey, you're a pussy, your wife. Hey, this is how it fucking, this is how quick it is. Because she'll go downstairs and pull the fucking plug out of the whole building, and I won't have electricity. I'll be fucking looking at Twitter through osmosis. You know what I'm saying? What's happening, beautiful? I'm not stupid. Jesus fucking Christ. That's it, guys. What music we got for these cocksuckers, Lee?
Soul Stripper.
Oh, shit. For some little something Jesus for the motherfucking Christ. Australians when AC/DC was down. This is like 74 or something. So I think Angus, I don't know how old he was, 19 or something. I gave you a shout out. I gave you your sayings for the fucking day. Tell Fear to suck your dick. We had my main man, Sal Ubat. Don't be touching my money, honey. It's $13. I got a little Jew bankroll.
It's $12.
And you got a clip. I know, and I got a check for $25, and I'm banking it. And I got one for 67 cents. I don't give a fuck anymore. Things are bad all over. You know what I'm talking about? Sal Ubat's call. Get his book, The Sinatra Club. Listen, I'm telling you, it's the holidays. You don't want to fuck up now during the holidays. If you start walking now, 10, 20 minutes a fucking day, right now, drinking a little water, eating cereal for breakfast, unlike my wife, I gotta fucking go bang out a steak or something or a bagel now. I don't want no bagels today either. I want a steak if I go.
Oh, yeah, that's
steak
my fault. That's your fault.
I'm hungry. I went to bed hungry. I had a fucking apple and a piece of peanut butter. Who lives like that? Who lives like that? Bodybuilders and shit. I'm a fat fuck. I don't need that. I need fuel.
To go to
Omelet.
You need fuel?
I do. I went to sleep because I had to get up early for these cocksuckers. Anyway, go to Onnit.com. Look at the mixed match combinations. You get the hemp protein with the strong bone and the new mood. Get the package. There's 20% off. Press in the box, church, and you get an extra fucking bazooka shoved up your asshole. You see what I'm saying? I'm quick this morning. That's what happens when you snort the alpha brain and mix the other shit and drink it up like a fucking soldier. Sons of Anarchy, cocksuckers. You believe that, guys? That's what happens when you have a wife with a kid. They hold you over a barrel. It's worse than the fucking mafia. You know what I'm saying? They just come in and muscle you like the fucking, like the Chinks did to the Italians in 85 over on fucking Canal Street. A lot of people don't know. I know about that history. Anyway, I gave a shout out to you motherfuckers next Thursday, December 13th, you know where I'm going to be. The Madhouse Comedy Club in San Diego. Don't show up with Susquehanna and weed. I don't need the fucking aggravation, all right? You want to email me to go to joeycocodiaz.net. You want to talk to Lee Syatt? He's on Twitter, at Lee Syatt. He doesn't have the flying Jew yet because he's waiting for shit to bust open. And then he's taking all the... Don't forget Sunday, one of the guys on there, I don't have his name. I'll give him credit for this later because that's the type of motherfucker I am. Said it's a temple of what's happening now on Sunday because of Hanukkah. We will see you here at 9 a.m. Pacific. Lunchtime, Jersey time, you know what I'm saying? Lee Syatt, what's going on? What are you bringing? What do you got to show up with something? You got to bring the yarmulke. You
gotta bring the yarmulkes.
You got to bring the yarmulke. What else? The menorah. You got to light a candle. I don't have the menorah. Well, we'll go buy one at the House of David. Why are you being so cheap for a cocksucker?
Where's that guy? Oh, it's Mike Redenbaugh is the guy who says it's the temple.
Temple. That's why I love these motherfuckers. And what else I got on here? I just got to put the glasses on for 5 minutes. I don't want you... What did you think about last night? Anybody? I forgot to say about the Sons of Anarchy. She dropped a bomb, Gemma. Only men need to be loved. Women need to be wanted. God damn. Think about that one during the fucking weekend where you're eating that fucking patois and looking into that muffler of life like Lee is about to look. He don't even know Lee. Lee, you got to shave one of your eyebrows. Cause,
why?
Because you got to shave. We're going to shave the right one where the, where she's going to fart in your eyeball. Because that's going to be part of the picture to put on the programming for 3 mil. So what? You walk around with a missing eyebrow for 2 weeks, you're going to get 3 mil. I'm stoned to the gills. Did I tell you cocksuckers that?
I need to teach your wife how to do this because it would be a much funnier podcast. It was just her and you giving you shit.
No. Look at Lee. He's all rushed up. Look at him. He's turning red.
Shave an eyebrow. Jesus Christ.
I'm telling you, Lee, you wouldn't shave an eyebrow for the fucking struggle.
I'd have to like get a half of the... I'm going to have to get like a million and a half.
Million and a half? What are you, Joe Namath?
Yeah, why not?
Get the fuck out of here. A little something for the Australians. Listen, I got a lot of shit coming up for you cocksuckers. You know I've been throwing heat lately. I got mobsters. I got fucking HBO reps that are fucking selling information to fucking Russians and Puerto Ricans. I got trainers. I got Herb Dean. I ain't fucking around with you people. We're about to take you motherfuckers over. We need for you to leave some comments. We need for you to subscribe. We need for you to get your shit crack-a-lacking, telling your friends about it. Do what the fuck you got to do. I love you guys. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. We'll see you for a special edition gambling. Do I have picks for this weekend? I really don't, guys. I don't know who's going to win between... who's fighting? Oh, shit. Diaz and whatever.
Yeah.
Gustafson and the other dude. You know what? I love the little young Nate Diaz. I think he's at the top of his game right now. Benson Henderson is sky high also. I just don't see him being up Diaz. That's just my opinion. I love you guys. A little AC/DC from the first album. The Import, not the American version. There's High Voltage, the Import, and there's High Voltage, the American version. The American version does not have Soul Stripper. Hit it for these people, little Soul Stripper, out of respect for the Australians. Omnit, motherfuckers. Go to honest.com. Get your party started. Hit it, Lee. Oh, shit. Get that cowbell, Lee. Do it.
Always need more cowbell.
Put that on louder, Lee. Come on, baby. What? Do it, Lee. Do it, Lee. What?